I want to begin this morning by turning to Exodus 33. Exodus chapter 33. Our text is Mark chapter 2. And in the text, Brother Chris just read, our Lord walked up to a man named Levi, or Matthew, same person. And our Lord said to him, follow me. Follow me. And he got up and he followed him. It seems like such a simple account, doesn't it? It only took one verse of Scripture to say that. There's a man sitting at the receipt of custom. He walked up to him and said, follow me. And he arose and followed him. Two words are spoken. A response takes place. But in order to have that simple transaction, what appears to be a very simple transaction, something very deep had to take place. Very deep. Something so holy and mysterious, it almost can't be entered into. So deep. I want us to begin this morning here in Exodus 33. And I want us to see what had to be done for that to take place. All right, Exodus 33. Moses said in verse 18. He said to God, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Show me your glory. Now, this is Exodus chapter 33. This is toward the end of the book of Exodus. By this point, Moses had seen all of God's plagues come down on Egypt. Rivers turned to blood. They didn't just turn red. They turned to blood. They couldn't drink the water. They turned to blood. Indescribable darkness. They said that the darkness was so great the Egyptians had to sit in their place for 3 days. That's how great it was. Now, there was light in all the tents of the Israelites. But absolute darkness. Death. The firstborn male in every house shall die. Absolute, and it happened. Absolute death. Moses saw the Red Sea part. Now, I had to study on that just for a little bit. And I've always had it in my mind that he walked up to the water and the water just went like that. But do you know what it says? It became a wall unto them. And at the top of the Red Sea, there's two little fingers. And the one they crossed is 6,000 feet deep. The Empire State Building is 1,200 feet deep. Five Empire State Buildings on top of each other. Its shortest width is 12 miles wide. Its longest is 17. So for at least 12 miles, they walked in water that was almost a mile and a quarter tall. It would have almost gone to a vanishing point. Can you imagine? Moses saw this happen. They came up to him and they said, Moses, what are we going to do? And Moses had no idea. He's just a man. But he believed God. And so he told them, I don't know, but stand still and you will see the salvation of the Lord. You stand still. Wait on the Lord, I say. Wait on the Lord. And all of a sudden, and for 12 miles, they walked through. That sea had ocean life in it. They went by the light of the moon and the pillar of fire. They could see whales and sharks and jellyfish. And I can envision the kids sticking their arm in there going, "Don't do that, honey. I don't want this wall coming down." It's not coming down. Not yet. Moses saw this. Can you imagine his thankfulness to God? "Oh, thank you, Lord. I told somewhere between 2 and 3 million people that you would provide, and you did." Moses saw a dead, dry rock when everybody was about to die of thirst. He called on the Lord, and he saw a dead, dry rock just start gushing water, enough to fill 3 million people. And then he saw that exact same rock follow them everywhere they went. Same rock, same rock. Moses saw bread fall out of heaven. "What are we going to eat? Lord, what are we going to eat?" Moses saw the power of God, and he saw the majesty of God, but he knew that these miracles are not the root of the matter. They're not the root of the matter. He knew there is something more to this. Something deeper in this. He knew these things were pointing to something. They were all there to point us to something. There's something greater than miracles. Miracles are great, but there's something greater than miracles. Everybody's focused on the miracles. Moses knew there's something greater in all this. So in verse 18, he said, After all that, he said, "I beseech thee, show me thy glory." And God said, "I will make all my goodness," that means my beauty, my gladness, my welfare, "I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord." I'm going to tell you who Jehovah is. I'm going to reveal God to you. Everybody thinks they know who God is. He said, "I'm going to reveal God to you. And it's going to strike fear into you. It is going to strike fear into you. And then I'm going to show grace to you. The gift that I have given, my only precious son. I'm going to show you who God is, and it's going to strike absolute fear into you. And then I'm going to show you who my only begotten son is. And then I'm going to show you what mercy actually is." You see, he said in verse 20, "Thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. I am too holy, and you are too sinful." If a sinner sees God face to face, he will die. If a sinner sees God face to face, he will die. The only way that a man can go meet God and not die is if he's not a sinner. He has to be perfect. He has to be righteous. He has to be acceptable. Otherwise, you will die. No man can see me face to face and live. No man. But there is a place. There's a place. Verse 21, "And the Lord said, Behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. That place is my Son, Jesus Christ. He is the rock. My graciousness is that I will give you my Son. My mercy is that I will break my Son. That's grace and mercy. Verse 22, and it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. That place is my Son, Jesus Christ. He is that rock. My glory is going to pass by. My majesty and my holiness and my demands and my standard, it's going to pass by. And I'm going to put you in that broken place. And then I'm going to cover you with my hand. I'm going to put you in the broken one, the Son of God Almighty, in the cleft of that rock, and then I'm going to cover you with my hand. Who is the right hand of God Almighty? Jesus Christ, the broken one. I'm going to put you in my Son, and then I'm going to cover you with my Son. And verse 24 says, the end of it says, while I pass by. Pass by means be wrath. While I be wrath, I'm going to put you in that rock, and I'm going to cover you, and while I be wrath, while all my holiness and my righteousness and my judgment beats on that rock, the one that you are safely tucked up inside, after my holiness passes by, after everything that is not worthy to stand in my presence has been judged and destroyed, verse 23, I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. After it's all over, I'm going to let you have a glimpse of God. That's my glory. That's my glory. Chapter 34, verse 6 says, and the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed the Lord. This is what he said while he was passing by. He said something. He proclaimed the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and fourth generation. Adam sinned, and because of that, his children sinned. Cain, Abel, Seth, all of his children sinned. Because his children sinned, their children sinned, Adam's grandchildren. And it went on and on and on, all the way down to my grandfather. His name was Gerald Stonecker. And he sinned. And because of that, my father, Marvin Stonecker, he sinned. And because of that, I sinned. And because of that, my children have sinned. We are all sinners in the hands of an angry, angry God. But he said, this is my glory. If you want to see my glory, here it is. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. And I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy by hiding them in that rock and then spewing out my wrath on that rock. That's what had to happen before our story could take place in Mark chapter 2. Every bit of that. It had to happen before our story could take place in Mark chapter 2. Because all of that took place, the merciful Savior, the rock, walked up to a sinner who was sitting there in his sin, and he said, "Okay, follow me. Come on." Go back over there to Mark chapter 2. Verse 13 says, "And he went forth again by the seaside, and all the multitude resorted unto him, and he taught them." What did he teach them? Exodus 33. Christ and him crucified. It's actually the same thing that Genesis 1:1 says, and everything after that all the way to Revelation 22:21. The same thing. It all declares the glory of God. We talk about the glory of God. We're here to glorify God and to see His glory. What is it? "I'll be gracious to whom I'll be gracious, and I'll show mercy on whom I'll show mercy." Verse 14, "And as he passed by, he saw Levi, one of the ones who God put in that rock. While our Lord walked this earth, he was seeking every sinner that God put in that rock. And he would find them out. There's one right there that God put in that rock." So he walked straight up to Matthew. Verse 14 says, "As he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of custom." Levi, or Matthew, who is the writer of the first gospel, Matthew, he was a publican. He was a Jew who collected tax money from the other Jews to give it to the Romans. He was a hated man. A hated man. All publicans were hated, usually because they were all thieves. They would go tell their own countrymen, "You owe more than they really did." And then they would keep the difference and send what they actually owed to the Romans. So they were hated people. Publicans were considered to be the lowest. And Levi was a sinner. That's what he was. Verse 14 says, "As he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him." He followed him. This grace that is God's glory, it's called effectual. And what that means is it's effective. It's very effective. Whoever is a recipient of it, that grace shall not fail. It's not going to fail. He said, "Follow me," and he got up and he followed him. Every work that Christ does gets the intended result. Every time. We preach this gospel because it is the power of God unto salvation. I rest in that. It's not up to me. I don't need to speak this well. I don't need to give a good oratory today. This word is going to do whatever God sends it to do. Declare it, and then stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Everything our God starts, He finishes. Every sinner that He seeks, He came seeking Levi. Every sinner that He seeks will seek Him. Every sinner that He finds will find him every time. Levi was not seeking him. Levi's sitting over here counting his money, sitting at the table. "Yep, right here, folks. Put it right there." Levi didn't want to follow him. "Would you rather sit here and take your money or follow me? Which one would you rather do?" "I'm good." Levi had no idea that grace and mercy had come to him. All the way back in Exodus 33, which was a picture of what happened before the foundation of the world. God had a rock, and God took this wicked man and shoved him inside that rock, and then God spewed out his wrath on that rock. And Levi sitting over here in his ignorance, no idea. Going about his life, no idea. He had no idea that grace and mercy had come. He had no idea he needed it. No idea. This was all the Lord's doing. Levi did not see him walking by and say, you know what? I'm tired of being a bad person. I think I'm going to follow him. This was all the Lord's doing. It's that way every time. I'm quite positive that Levi was very happy in his sin. He wasn't looking for a change. Thank God Levi did not have a say in the matter. He did not have a say in this matter. God's call went out. Levi couldn't resist it. He arose and followed him. I thank God that he has not called me to convince anybody to follow Christ. It's not my calling. What do you do for a living? I'm a winner of souls. No, I'm a preacher of the gospel. God wins all souls. Well, through this declaration, God himself will say to the heart, follow me, just like he did to Levi. Follow me. Every single one that God comes to and says, follow me, will arise and follow him. Everyone. Luke gives this same account. Go with me over to Luke chapter 5. Luke 5, look at verse 27. And after these things, he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, follow me. And he left all, rose up, and followed him. He left it all. He left it all. He did not scrape anything up and take it with him. He left it all. That's what every sinner will gladly do to follow Christ. Everyone. He'll leave his good works. I got some really good works on the table. I've brought some things to the table. Don't you want those? He'll leave his good works. He'll leave his decisions. He'll leave his pride. He'll leave his self-righteousness. He'll leave everything this world has to offer in order to follow Jesus Christ. Every time. Our Lord did not drag Brother Levi. He didn't get him by the hair and say, now come on. He said, follow me. And Levi thought, it's about the only thing I want to do in life. Levi, you want to take any of that with you? No. He went willingly. Where are you going, Levi? The pearl of great price just walked by. What's that? Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. You know, if God ever shows the unsearchable riches of Christ to a sinner, that sinner will want nothing else. Nothing else. Every time he'll do what Levi did. Right here in Luke 5, verse 29 says, Levi made him, he followed him. Where are we going? Your house. Told Zacchaeus the same thing, didn't he? Going to your house. Verse 29, Levi made him a great feast in his own house. And there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with them. Levi invited every publican and sinner he could find to come see the Lord Jesus Christ. I only know publicans and sinners. Nobody else will have anything to do with me. Bring them all. Come see a man. Come see a man. Go back over to Mark chapter 2, verse 15. Mark 2, verse 15, it says, "And it came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house, many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many." Many. "And they followed him." They followed him. Our Lord will receive sinners. Levi knew that he had found mercy, and he went around telling every sinner he could, "You can find mercy too." And God didn't let him lie. Moses said, "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. The Lord will deliver you this day." And God didn't let him lie. You can find mercy too. We are sinners in the hands of an angry God. We are going to go meet God. And without Christ, if we just see Him face to face. But you can find mercy too. There is a place. There is a rock that was broken. And there's room for many. That you can fit a number no man could number inside that cliff to the rock. Many publicans and sinners came to him, and they all said, "Lord, what about us? Come on. Follow me. Whoever will, let him come. Only the ones that God's grace has come to will, but whoever will, let him come." Verse 16, "And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eat with publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, How is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners?" They asked the disciples that. The disciples were sinners too. Levi was a publican. Levi was a sinner. He was being called right here to be an apostle. He wrote the first book of the New Testament. Penned it. God Almighty made a publican an apostle. And the disciples, these Pharisees came to the disciples and they said, "How is it that he eats with publicans and sinners?" And they don't give an answer. How? No. They could have asked anybody in that room, "How is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners?" What they're saying is, "Why would he choose you?" I don't know. I don't know. Why would he choose you? I really don't know. I don't have an answer for you. No saved sinner can answer that question. Why me? Why me? That's one of the things that every sinner will never understand. Why me? Verse 17 says, "When Jesus heard it, he spoke up." He knows why. He knows why his Father chose whom he did. He knows why he redeemed who he did. He knows why the Spirit calls whom he does. Verse 17, "When Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, They that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." That's why I'm eating with them. You want to know why I'm here eating with publicans and sinners and not over there in the good house with you? It's because they were the ones that God, my Father, put in the rock. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Honestly, really, among us in this building this morning, why did he come to call sinners and not the righteous? Why did he come to call sinners and not the righteous? Two types of people in this world. Absolute sinners and those who don't believe they're absolute sinners, even though they are. Why would he come to call the sinners instead of the righteous? I don't know. I don't know. But he did. It says he did. He said he did. So come, ye sinners. poor and needy, weak and wounded, sick and sore. Jesus, ready, stands to save you, full of pity, love, and power. If you hear Him through this word, say to your heart, follow me. Then with your heart, arise and go to Him. He will embrace you in His arms, and He will not let me be a liar. He will embrace you in His arms. In the arms of your dear Savior, there are 10,000 charms. My prayer is that every one of us will hear Him say this morning, follow me. There's just a few of us here. We got about half of our crowd this morning. There's not many. And He is able. My prayer is that every soul in this room will hear Him say, follow me. Come on. You were in that rock. Follow me. Lord, I come. I come to Thee. No man can except You draw me, so draw me. Because I come. Okay, let's stand together.